Hi, this is Elizabeth Smith-McCrossin, here to provide you with my weekly constituency MLA update for Cumberland North. Today is Monday, October the 16th, and my mission as your MLA for Cumberland North is to represent you, the people of Cumberland North. I'm an independent MLA, meaning I work for you, the people, based on a foundation on the principles of democracy. Building on foundations of truth and justice, determination and dedication, being honest, and a servant leader with a goal to empower all people. Together, you and I can build stronger communities using on the strength of our veterans that came before us and standing firm on the four pillars of excellence in healthcare, affordability, education in our children, and entrepreneurship in our economy. Other work that I focus on is centered around protection of the Chignecto Isthmus, maritime collaboration, and truth and justice for victims of sexual assault and family violence. These priorities are in line with my vision for a more positive, vibrant communities here throughout Cumberland North. Last week was a busy week. Of course, Monday was Thanksgiving Monday, and I was able to spend some wonderful time with my family. And then on Tuesday morning, we attended an event at the Amherst Armories with the Member of Parliament and Cabinet Minister for Veterans Affairs. Her name is Jeanette Pettipaw Taylor, and she's from the Moncton-Dieppe area. And she traveled down to meet with many of our veterans, as well as have a tour of the Regimental Museum that's located inside the Amherst Armory. It was a good opportunity to speak with many of our veterans, to listen to their concerns, and continue to advocate for a stronger future for our armories building, which currently the Department of National Defense are not allowing anyone in the community to use that building for community purposes. The Regimental Museum continues to be there and is open every morning, Monday through Friday, 9 to 12. And the cadets continue to use the building, but there's not allowed any community use of the building. So we discussed those concerns with the cabinet minister, Jeanette, and I believe the veterans were really encouraged from her visit. In the afternoon, I met with a local group who wanted to talk to me about glyphosate spray on the woodland here in Cumberland County. And I met with several of those constituents regarding that issue. On Wednesday, I had several meetings and phone calls on various issues from housing, healthcare, and affordability, and traveled to Halifax to be there and be ready for the opening session of the Nova Scotia Legislature, which was on Thursday morning. On Wednesday evening, I was able to meet a cabinet minister from Scotland. He traveled here with his staff to tour Cape Breton as well as other areas of Nova Scotia and to promote his country of Scotland. And he shared how beautiful Nova Scotia is and how much it reminded him of his home country. And of course, we know Cape Breton is very similar to the geography of Scotland as well. I was able to see an old friend, Chris D'Entrema, who is, of course, the Deputy Speaker of the Parliament in Ottawa. He's from the South Shore, from Yarmouth. He used to be an MLA here in Nova Scotia for over 15 years. So it was wonderful to see my dear friend, Chris D'Entrema, on Wednesday as well. And then Thursday was the opening session of the Nova Scotia Legislature. My team and I have been preparing for this session for several months. We have 11 bills to table based on feedback and ideas from the people living here in this area as well as throughout Nova Scotia. The first bill I tabled was on Friday, and it was entitled An Act to Create a Provincial Ambulance Service. And I've been contacted by paramedics across the province to help prepare for this bill, but also since tabling the bill on Friday, paramedics are very supportive and want the government to put this bill into legislation. This bill, it's Bill 338, it's asking the Minister of Health and Wellness to create an ambulance service owned and operated by the Department of Health and Wellness. Ambulance services in Nova Scotia are currently contracted to a private company called Emergency Medical Care, Inc., which is a subsidiary of Medivie Blue Cross. The province does already own our own fleet of ambulances. So under this new piece of legislation that I've tabled and asking government to consider, paramedics would become employees of the Department of Health and Wellness. They would have pensions and benefits similar to those offered already to Department of Health and Wellness employees, similar to nurses and other people that work for our healthcare system. Their wages would have to reflect the national average wage of paramedics, and the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 727, would continue to represent paramedics in contract negotiations. I believe Nova Scotia's ambulance service is the backbone of our emergency health response. However, we know it's not currently meeting the needs of citizens and has not met the needs for a few years now. I'm seeing it get worse. We need to take steps to make improvements. There are far too many examples of people waiting for hours for an ambulance with no accountability right now for the poor service that we are receiving. So if this piece of legislation were to pass, the funding for it would be made available to support Nova Scotia Community College as well to establish a paramedic training program here in Nova Scotia. We would ensure there are enough seats to meet the province's paramedic training needs, and Department of Health and Wellness would also need to establish, monitor, and enforce strict standards for ambulance availability and response times. If you'll recall, recently in September, the Nova Scotia Auditor General released a report on ground ambulance services, and it clearly showed just how bad the current service is. I believe that by transferring responsibility from a third-party for-profit company, Medivib, to a government operation, I'm confident that we can return emergency health services here in Nova Scotia to its previous status, which was one of the best ambulance services in North America. So I am hoping that this piece of legislation will be considered by the government and put into legislation. The government tabled several bills last week, including Bill 319, which was a First Responders Day. This bill puts into legislation that May 1st of each year will be recognized as First Responders Day. I spoke to this bill and thanked the first responders that serve here throughout Cumberland North. Bill 320 was tabled by the government, and this is a bill that is going to see the government start charging a fee for Airbnb and short-term rentals. And Minister John Lohr, who's the Minister for Housing, said their goal is to try to encourage homeowners to change Airbnb and short-term rentals into housing rentals, permanent housing rentals, so that more people have a place to live. Bill 321 was tabled by the government last week, and it is to support French schools here in Nova Scotia. Bill 322 is a government bill to help join British Columbia in a lawsuit around the opioid crisis, and also helps to cut the red tape for this class action. Bill 327 is a bill put by the Minister of Public Works, and it's to change legislation to more enable the electronic flaggers to be used in road construction work. Bill 329 is a housing bill put forth. It's very controversial. It only affects the HRM, which is Halifax Regional Municipality. Essentially, overarching, this bill will take away control from the HRM City Council and put it with the provincial government. And we're going to see quite a bit of backlash from the City Council on this bill. And Law Amendments Committee is today. It starts at 12 o'clock. And those of you listening that are interested in politics, it will be a very interesting afternoon. If you want to go on, just Google Nova Scotia Legislative TV and you'll be able to watch Law Amendments Committee live, where you'll see several people come and share their views on the bills, the government bills that were put forth last week. I also, on Friday, put forth a member statement to share my concerns about the Chignecto Isthmus. We all know here, living close to the Chignecto Isthmus, that work to raise the height of the dikes should have been started long ago, and I urged government to take that action. In question period on Friday, I asked the Minister of Health and Wellness about the lack of emergency ambulance services and asked what the government is doing to make improvements there, and specifically identified some of the concerns that you have brought to me from here in Cumberland North. On opening day of the legislature last Thursday, I also raised a point of order asking that a notice of motion from the spring session be ruled out of order and be removed from the order paper. On April the 3rd, 2023, Resolution 598 was introduced by the governing PCs. This notice of motion was tabled by Carla McFarlane, who is now Speaker of the House and had been interim leader of the PC party. The notice of motion 598 was brought forth after debate following first reading of Bill 278, which was an act prohibiting non-disclosure agreements with political parties in cases of sexual assault. This is a bill that I had tabled that the Liberals had called on their opposition day. It's a bill that I stand behind and is also in support of the NDP bill, also asking that non-disclosure agreements not be allowed to be used in cases of sexual assault as they currently are. This legislation has already passed in 17 states in the United States of America, as well as Prince Edward Island, as well as in the United Kingdom. There is a movement across the world. It started with the Me Too movement. There's also another movement called Can't Buy My Silence, where people are starting to speak out and be empowered and say that the use of non-disclosure agreements that were initially intended to be used in business deals should not be allowed to silence victims of sexual assault. I believe very strongly in this. I've seen this happen here in Cumberland County. I guess my initial time that I saw this was back about 20 years ago. And since that time, I've seen it happen time and time again. And in every circumstance, at least that I'm aware of, it has only empowered the perpetrator. And I've seen perpetrators go on to continue to harm more victims and silenced victims. I believe that is fundamentally wrong, and stand behind this piece of legislation that I tabled, which is asking for non-disclosure agreements to no longer be legal to be used in cases of sexual assault. And my bill was particular to political parties. So the government took exception with the debate around this bill and put forth a notice of motion, to have me removed. Now, if you recall what happened in April, there was a fair amount of opposition to their notice of motion, and the Premier made a comment to media that he's decided not to call it, meaning if it's not called, then it will not be debated and voted on. Because the government have a majority, if they did call this notice of motion, debated it, and voted on it, they automatically can have me removed due to their simple majority. I believe, and many people believe, that this is unconstitutional. It's undemocratic. I was elected by the people of Cumberland North, and it should only be the people of Cumberland North that decide if I'm no longer to be their representative, not a majority government, simply because they don't like the words that I shared. In the past, throughout Nova Scotia, as well as across Canada, the only time a member has been a duly elected member of the legislature or parliament has been removed is usually due to some sort of criminal activity, which of course I have not done. So I did table this point of order on Thursday. I had some help from constitutional lawyers, people that work in parliamentary democracy throughout the world, and helped me to prepare this point of order, which states the legal arguments why the point of order that the government tabled was unconstitutional. It's now in the Speaker's hands. The Deputy Speaker, Nolan Young, has that to consider, and I look forward to hearing his ruling on that, hopefully sometime this week, and I will certainly keep you all updated. In the meantime, my goal is to represent you, the people of Cumberland North, to the very best of my ability, and I will continue to do that each and every day that I am there. This morning, the government released information that the heating assistance rebate program is now available. There is a $600 rebate available for people for their heating bills throughout this year. Families earning up to $75,000 or single income households earning up to $55,000 are eligible, whether you rent or own. So you can apply for this $600 rebate. Nova Scotians applying for this heating assistance rebate may also be eligible for the newly expanded $750 senior care grant. There's also a property tax rebate for seniors and also a home energy assistance top-up fund administered by the Salvation Army. And you may also benefit from the long-running Your Energy Rebate Program. If you'd like more information on any of these, please contact my office. The phone number is 902-661-2288. And of course, we're located at 5 Ratchford Street here in Amherst, which is right beside the town library. I will say, as your MLA, I fundamentally believe that government should take less of people's money in taxes and start increasing basic personal tax exemption and index income tax brackets. I also believe the government should remove the copay on seniors' pharmacare and stop Nova Scotia being the highest tax province in Canada. So I fundamentally disagree with us being the highest tax jurisdiction in the entire country, and then offering rebates back to people. It costs a lot of money in government to run these rebate programs, and I believe we'd be better off if we just let people keep more of their hard-earned money rather than taking so much in taxes and then handing out money back to people. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have computers. There's a lot of people that will not be aware of these government programs and won't have access to apply for them. In this spirit, I do have some bills that I'm tabling this session that are asking the government to stop the copay on seniors' pharmacare. I had already tabled bills asking for indexing of income tax brackets, and every other province does this, and it's just basically increasing the income tax brackets in line with inflation. And also, we have the lowest basic personal tax exemption in the country, which means we start paying income tax before any other province in the country. So those are just some of my thoughts on taxation, and I'll be sure to be discussing those in the fall session of the legislature. In the meantime, until the government do make any changes in our tax system, these rebate programs are available, and I encourage every single person that's eligible to apply for them. And if you need any help with that, you certainly can reach out to my office, and my staff are here to help you with that. This Week in Politics, I'm back in the legislature on Tuesday and bringing the voices of the people of Cumberland North to the legislature. I would like to wish a happy birthday or an anniversary to anyone that's celebrating this week, including today on Monday, October the 16th, is Bonnie Petten. Sending a big shout out and happy birthday to Bonnie and all of her care providers that do an excellent job of providing care to her each and every day. I care so much for Bonnie. I'd also like to wish a happy birthday to Nick Furlong. So proud of Nick and his team. They have a business that's called We Like Work. I just love that name, and it's great branding. And I want to send a big congratulations to Nick Furlong for the success of this, being a strong entrepreneur, and wish him a happy birthday today. On Tuesday, October 17th, Kim Bailey celebrating a birthday. On Wednesday, October the 18th, Tracy Langell and Tammy Allen celebrating. On Thursday, October the 19th, Veronica Richards, beautiful-hearted woman, love Veronica. Wishing Veronica a very special day. And as well, Taylor Ripley, what a wonderful young woman she is, has a birthday on Thursday. On Friday, October the 20th, Chris McCarthy, one of our young paramedics, as well as Bonnie Maxwell Carter are celebrating birthdays. And on Saturday, October the 21st, Nadine Laura Byers is celebrating. Happy birthday. I would like to extend my sympathies, my condolences to anyone who has lost a loved one recently, including the family and friends of Marlene Arsenault Crosman. Marlene passed away tragically last week. She was the manager of our local theater here in Amherst. And to say that I'm heartbroken with her death would be an understatement. And I believe that many of you listening and those here in our area join me with those thoughts. I'm sending much love and sympathies to the family, friends, and community on the loss, sudden loss of Marlene Arsenault Crosman. I also would like to send my sympathies to the family and friends of John or Jack Klein, who passed away recently, Florence Mary LeBlanc, and those of you that know Florence, she was 102 years of age, and just an amazing story around her passing. Florence had tragically lost her husband 44 years to the day of when she passed, and even within a half an hour of 44 years ago when her husband passed. So that was quite something for her family. And I just want to say, send my condolences and thoughts to the family of Florence Mary LeBlanc. She was a beautiful, beautiful soul. I had visited her recently at Victoria Manor and gave her a certificate for her 102nd birthday and had a great conversation with her. And she will be missed, certainly. Also sending my condolences to the family of Trudy Marlene Carter, as well as Barbara Gertrude Ralston. And anyone else who may have lost a loved one at this time, please accept my sympathies. As I close off my MLA update for this week, I would like to say thank you to all the team at CFTA 107.9 for their incredible community work, especially Mr. James Hand and Mr. Ron Bickle, but to the entire team at CFTA, truly a community radio station. As I close off today, I want to challenge, send a challenge to our communities. Anyone that's listening, if you are able, I am asking everyone that is able to make a donation to the local food bank, whether it's if you're here in Cumberland North, whether it's the main one called the Open Hamper in Pugwash or the main food bank here in Amherst. Of course, there's also a pantry beside the credit union and one over by West Highland Schools. And I know NSCC, Amherst Campus, as well as the Amherst High School have food banks. But the two main food banks, the Open Hamper in Pugwash and the Amherst Food Bank here in Amherst, they are desperately seeking food donations. And I'm just going to put out a challenge today to anyone that's able. If you're struggling yourself and having trouble putting food on the table, I'm not asking you to do this. But if you have the means and a few extra dollars when you buy your groceries, to consider picking up some things that you could donate to the food bank or to give a cash donation. The donations at all the food banks are down dramatically, significant drop in donations, as well as significant increase in usage. So we are certainly asking everyone that's able to consider helping out your neighbor by making a food donation. As your MLA, I will continue to advocate for improvements in affordability for all people here in Nova Scotia and especially us here in Cumberland North. But in the meantime, if you can't afford to make a donation to the food bank, please consider doing so. There are many people in our community in need. Please have a great week. Take care of yourself, body, mind, and spirit. Make sure you're getting some physical activity to the best of your ability. Make sure you're eating nutritious food as much as you possibly can. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself, body, mind, and spirit. And always seek ways to serve others. Often, the way that we have true joy in our life is through service. It's being outward focused and helping and serving others.